I am disappointed. My family has been attacked. I'm running for chair. Things have been said about us, my wife and I, my friends, the Alpha Center. I'm not going to stand for it. And then I get up here tonight, and I feel like this meeting was totally tore apart for political reasons. I am very upset. And folks, let me just tell you something right now. I don't back down and I don't bow down. Well, I'm going to run for chair, and I'm going to stick with it. Now, people either vote me in, they vote me out. That's up to them. But I don't appreciate the things that have been going on. I've never seen as gutter politics as I've seen here in this. If I've embarrassed somebody, I make no apologies. But this bottom line is we're going to run this meeting. It's going to be ran by the rules. We're going to respect the rules. We're not going to just speak up, and we're going to act out and holler out anytime we want. That was a blatant disrespect to me as the chairman of this county council to destroy this meeting, to make it look as if I couldn't run a meeting. I know exactly what you're doing tonight. You know, the comment was just made that this was set up. I really take that personally. I think this council meeting was set up tonight to be disrupted. And I'm not going, and I'm very disappointed that nobody ever tried to set anybody up on this ordinance. It was done early. People were called early. He was unable to get in touch with anybody. But to sit here and say that this was a setup, what was a setup and a shame is that I'm running the meeting, and it was deliberately going to be sabotaged with me running the meeting. And I know that, and I don't appreciate it. I'm very disappointed.
If a government claims a right, and then their claim is that they derive these rights from the people.
Right.
Well, how can people give a group rights that they don't themselves have?
To steal from each other.
Right, if we can't tax people, like I can't tax you, where exactly does government derive this right from? You realize that the goal ought to be as voluntary a society as possible. Now, how exactly you achieve that, how far you can push that is debatable, but certainly that should be the goal. That if government is providing a service for you, well then why does it need to be provided by force?
What if everything you see on county council in their meetings is really a coordinated clown show with controlled opposition, and the outcome of all this is already decided in advance? Hello and welcome to the Liberty Report. This is your host, Jeff Maddox. And today we're covering the budget process and the shenanigans around how they're pulling the wool over our eyes, and the raising of the millage tax was already in plan. We're also covering more control of private property, and this time it's from both sides of the collective who think that government can control anything and everything having to do with your property. And finally, Jimmy Jones. Jimmy Jones is chasing ghosts, and I'm not sure if he's not having a mental breakdown. Everybody's out to get Jimmy Jones. That's what we're covering today on the Liberty Report. First up, the clown show and the budget process. What is interesting here is how the budget process works. In Kershaw County now, every year they come up to where it takes about 3 months to do a budget. And what they do is they have a retreat and they set a bunch of goals and they all the feel-good stuff. And then that's handed off to the Finance Committee and the administration. And the administration tries to fit all the goals into what they want to call a budget. Now, if y'all follow politics much, everybody knows that up in Congress, up in the swamp, and at the State House and all, one of the critical committees that you would like to be on would be the Finance Committee, the Appropriations Committee, where the money is going to be appropriated and where it's going to be spent and how much and where and all that. So being on the Finance Committee here in Kershaw County, there's three members, and that is a powerful position. Because in the end, at the budget only comes before county council during the three readings leading up to a state-mandated fiscal deadline of July 1st. So, generally speaking, every year the first reading of the budget is in title only. And this year that took place in May, like the 11th of May, the first meeting of May. The budget was read into the record and voted on unanimously in title only. What is important here is who is the members of the Finance Committee. Number one, you've got Sammy Tucker. He's the head honcho in the Finance Committee. He's been on the Finance Committee since the 2008, somewhere around there. He's always on the Finance Committee. You got Derek Shoemake and Brant Tomlinson. What's interesting here is when Ben Connell left to go to the State House, and Derek Shoemake was not seated yet, they had to figure out somebody to go on Finance Committee. So Jimmy Jones was nominated, and he said, I'll do it temporarily. I don't want the job, blah, 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 blah. So he sat on there for a little while until Derek Shoemake took office, and they moved Derek Shoemake in there. Now, at the time, Russell Brazel was the pick to go in there. But the night that that happened, and Katie Gwynn said, Russell, I think you're going to take this job on the Finance Committee. And Russell said, no, I ain't taking it. Apparently, they had had a rift or something. And so here you go. You got Derek Shoemake, Sammy Tucker, and then Brant Tomlinson, who we know works for special interest and lobbyists, like the Mullikens and all. So you got Ben Connell's mini-me. Sammy Tucker, he never met a tax he didn't like. He loves tax poor people. And you got Brant Tomlinson, who's going to go along with daddy-in-law, whatever he wants to say. So Jimmy Jones and Russell Brazel, who are against raising taxes and all, should have been on the Finance Committee if they wanted any power at all. That leads us into this year's budget and this year's process. We got to go back to May 28th. May 28th was the night that the second reading of the budget is ready to come on. They read the first reading May 11th. The 28th is the second reading of the budget and the first reading of the millage. Jimmy Jones leads the meeting, and this is how it begins.
All right. We're at a second reading of an ordinance to provide budget appropriations for county purposes in the County of Kershaw for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2024 and ending June 30th, 2025 and adopt and implement the charge and collection of service and user rates and fees and for other tax purposes and county appropriation purposes and matters related thereto.
Mr. Vice Chair.
What?
Can we do Alpha first?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what we're going to do.
Okay. You on Bravo?
No, I'm on A.
A Alpha or A Bravo?
you know, okay, my agenda sheet didn't. Okay, how did I get that?
So, what we have here is confusion. The budget, the second reading of the budget is not the first item that was listed on the agenda, according to everybody but Jimmy. Well, what was the first item on the agenda? What was the alpha?
His agenda did have, just to his credit, Bravo was listed as alpha on his agenda that he has printed.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, we got to change right here. Thank you. This one. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
I think I shuffled around his papers earlier.
No, you didn't. But it was a misprint in my paper, but yeah. But don't get that close. All right.
So there you go. The 2024-2025 millage in title only. You see, this is significant later on. Remember that.
First reading in title only, fiscal year 2024-2025 millage and ordinance setting the millage rate for Kershaw County for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2024. Do I have a motion?
I make a motion that we approve the millage in title only for fiscal year 24-25 budget.
Right, Mr. Tucker makes a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, Mr. Tucker.
Yes, sir.
Speak if you wish.
I just want, it's in title only, but even with the title only, there's no increase in this millage rate as of now that we're reading in title only. And okay. The reason why we're doing this.
No millage increase.
Correct. And the reason why we're doing this is because we adopted an ordinance, not just a resolution, an ordinance saying that we will set the millage as we set the budget so they could all end by June 30th of the end of that fiscal year we're working in. So this has to be done in accordance to our ordinance by the time the budget is read on its third reading. And they will meet together in June.
Thank you, Mr. Shoemake.
Nothing.
Huh. So they have to, the budget has to be the same time. The budget and the millage follow each other. But you notice that the budget first reading was prior. Then we're on second reading of the budget and first reading of the millage. And why do they put the first reading of the millage before the second reading of the budget? And did you hear Sammy? Sammy says, there's no increase in the millage in this one, in this budget. Now, this is May 24, 28th.
Nothing.
Where'd Ms. Brazel go?
Little boy,
there he is. Do you have anything you want to say pertaining to the millage ordinance?
The millage, do we have the rate, the new rate? Sorry.
This doesn't include, no, you want the new value rate? Is what you're saying? Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's no millage increase in this whatsoever.
No, but the rate, the value of the mill grew.
It's 310, 417.
$310,417. What was it last year?
$302.
All right. Just getting an idea of how it changed from last year to this year. Thank you.
This title only, I was telling them, doesn't have any increase in it. It's just title only.
Okay. Guys, any other discussion? Any other questions?
No, sir. Thank you.
Okay. All those in favor, first reading in title only, the millage, raise your hand. Let the record show that Brazel, Tucker, Shoemake, and Cato and Thompson all voted in favor, Jimmy Jones as well, so therefore it's unanimous. Thank you, gentlemen, so much.
So it was unanimous. With no millage increase, in title only, they passed the millage ordinance. First reading. What's interesting is what comes next. So that was the first reading. Remember, Jimmy had gotten alpha and beta and alpha mixed up? He wanted to do the budget first, second reading of budget, and then the first reading of millage. But they, oh, that's mixed up. Let's do the millage in first reading and then the budget in second reading. And this is where Jimmy reads it.
That's second reading of an ordinance to provide a budget appropriations for purposes of Kershaw County for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2024 and ending June 30, 2025 and adopted and implemented the charge and collection of service and users rates and fees for the other tax purposes and county appropriations purposes and matters related thereof. Do I have a motion to put it on the floor?
Mr. Vice Chair, I make a motion that we approve the second reading of our budget for the fiscal year 24-25.
Is there a second?
I'll make a second.
There's a second. That's on the floor for discussion. Mr. Tucker.
So, here we go with the second reading. Why does it matter? Why does it matter which one was first and which one was second? Can you guess yet?
Yes, sir. So, as it stands right now, I would like to open up the floor and ask the administrator to give his request to council, and then I can go from there. So,
very good. Let me just say a couple words quickly before we go to the administrator. I want to thank you and the Finance Committee. I've done a great job. You've worked very hard. I may not agree. I may agree. I don't know. We're going to get into it in a little bit. But bottom line is you guys put a lot of work into it, and I appreciate that. All right, Mr. Templer.
So Jimmy Jones congratulates the Finance Committee. Oh, y'all did such a good job. Agree or disagree, but y'all did such a good job. But they didn't increase the millage on the first rate, and they got a balanced budget on the first reading of the budget, and now they've got a balanced budget, no millage, no tax increase. Jimmy Jones is congratulating them. But is that really what's going on?
Thank you, sir. Members of council, I just want to first point out to your attention the packet you received and that was advertised in compliance with our 24-hour rule has had slight modifications. There's an update to it in front of you. It's very nominal modifications, but I just wanted to, as we leave here today, y'all will have the most up-to-date working copy of the budget. As you know, this is a living, breathing document. We try to get things locked down as much as we can, but you know, there are some kind of last minute adjustments, and as it relates to revenue, and it's not any change that would reflect an increase. It's just shuffling some numbers and some money around from line item to line item. So,
Mr. Tim.
That sounds like a little bit of babbling bullshit, shall we say? There's always last-minute adjustments and you know, fuel costs and all that. But what is it all leading up to?
Last year, we had a budget of $34,746,307. And the proposed change is $4,485,120, according to the budget that I received in my packet. That's roughly a 13% increase in spending. And according to all the knowledge I have, that is a budget that has no tax increase. Is that correct? Look at that smile. I love that.
Yeah, there's a no-mill increase with the budget proposed by our administrator.
I love that smile. You lit up because you knew you did your job. Thank you.
So Russell's saying, oh, great day. Y'all got a balanced budget. Because you got more increase in revenue, you're able to keep us away from any kind of millage increase and all that. And this guy, Tyler Kirk, he's their numbers guy. He says, yeah, this budget that we're proposing, that the administrator proposed, doesn't have any tax increase or anything like that. But let's go on and see what really happens.
Mr. Russell Brazel, sir, would you ask him if this will carry through to third reading?
Oh, well, I don't think he has any control over that. I think that's
the administrator's budget won't change without a council motion. So the budget as it stands is the administrator's recommended budget. That recommended budget can't be changed by administration without further action from council.
Huh. So the administrator was told to do it this way, and he can't change it. In other words, he can't spend any more unless county council does some kind of action. Huh. I wonder what's going on right here.
There was $1.7 million in underestimated income. Do you think the potential for this time next year for us to hear, hey, we've got an extra million because we underestimated again? Because I know you like to keep things safe for Kershaw County.
We believe strongly in also making corrections if we're not exactly where we want to be. So I don't think you're going to see the same margin in the next year. We like to be safe, but you don't want to be excessive because then tax rates would be higher than what we would actually need. So the intent is to get safe but close, right? Not safe but $1.7 million left for capital.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
See, you know, we don't want to tax too much because the people get a little pissed off and might come after us. But we want to tax just enough where we can keep a good buffer on there. And, you know, y'all decide. So then Russell brings up something that most of people don't think about, but it's important. You know, every 5 years, there's a reassessment.
So when are we required to do another assessment?
I would have to speak with the assessor about that one. I'm sorry, sir. I don't have that ready.
You talking about the reassessment?
Yeah.
2025.
Yeah. So next year, there'll be a reassessment. Property values will go up, and then that'll be another source of income. We'll see another increase because I know that I think my first year is every 4 years. Is that right?
Every five years. It happened on the four because we went. You can extend out for a year, and we chose to do that. So that's why it came up within so early on you because we rolled over.
Next year will be my fifth year, so that makes sense because I remember my first year we had just had a reassessment. I think in 2020.
I can't remember the exact date, but I know we went over 1 year. We extended because we had some. Issues of software and transferring information and all that stuff, so we extend it out, which by law we can do.
Yeah.
So they know that they're going to get more revenue next year because of reassessment. And they're limited to 3% a year, I think. So your taxes are going up this year. Your taxes are going up next year.
So, and I know we're capped at, what, like 2.9% or something?
I'm not sure on that. I have a different cap in my head. I'm sorry.
I could be wrong, but I know that if a property goes way up or, say, it doubles in value,
yes.
you can't assess it.
Right. It's about 3% a year, right. 15% in 5 years.
Okay.
That's how it works.
Okay, so it could be a 15% increase?
Not one time. I'm saying it's 15 over 5 years, 3% each year. So the property can grow.
3% a year. And what they'll do is they'll try to get it 3%, 3%, 3%. Because they need a new revenue source. They need where can we get revenue? They're playing with force. The collective always uses force against you and me in order for them to get whatever service that they want to provide. If government wants to provide a service, why does it have to be by force?
But if let's say we budget off 315,000 per mil, and we only collect 212, we're going to be sending out tax notices to collect to pay our bills. Am I correct by saying that?
Anything involving tax notices, I do like to leave to the assessor. So I'd free that if you let me.
Well, if you don't have it in reserves and you don't have it in the bank, you've got to collect it somehow.
They would have it in reserve.
I think it's probably more likely that we would try to cut back on the spending if it's at all possible first. But it is a possibility if we over or underestimate dramatically that our elected officials might take some.
So what they're saying is that if they don't, if they spend more than what the taxes are, they'll have to immediately come after the taxpayer again, you and me, for another hamburger meal. If you remember Julian Burns years ago, when they were increasing a fee or a tax or whatever it was, he said it's only a hamburger meal. Of course, since then, a hamburger meal is doubled in price. But that's kind of irrelevant. But government is always going to be able to come to you with a gun, essentially, and get more funding. So no matter what happens, government is always going to be at least maintaining, and if not, gaining. And so what happens after that? Well, Danny starts talking about the reasons why. The reasons why we've got to have more money.
What was taken away from the council retreat, and a lot of that, a lot of that feedback was in terms of goals and objectives that included high, medium, and low priorities. I'm proud of the work we did, what we were able to put together here, in terms of having a respectable cost of living adjustment for the employees at 4%. And then also making, not and or, but making these market adjustments for positions that were significantly underfunded. We're talking individuals making $26,000 a year. So just trying to remain competitive, keep the talent we have, and offer a fair living wage. So we were able to do that. There was a lot of work that went into that. Again, if you received a market adjustment, you did not receive a COLA, so we were able to parse out those employees. We went essentially department by department to look at what these individuals made. We looked at what a fair market value was for that position, and we also kind of balanced it with what that position would pay in the private side. We always have to look at private side as a what I would say is a threat to our pulling our employees away.
So according to Danny, it was council that set all our goals for what they wanted Kershaw County government to do. And 4% for the employees and all, I mean, the price of hamburger meals has gone up, and so they need more money too, and everybody needs more money. And so we've worked very, very, very hard, and we're working right up to the last minute, you know, because the last minute, we don't know. We don't know until the last minute. We can't budget that far. It's got to be to the last minute. Otherwise, the numbers just don't work. The numbers keep changing. But he goes on. He goes on to tell us more about.
So I have really, you know, stressed and strained over this budget. I take a very serious approach to the fiscal responsibility of this county.
Very, very, very the fiscal responsibility of this county.
I never want to have council caught flat-foot on anything. So we have essentially generated a budget that is, it achieves a lot of things, but to achieve what I wanted to achieve, I would ask for three more mills in this year's budget. So just three more mills, and what I would do there is I would push one mill over to the sheriff.
Yes, sir.
To address a lot of those, they are historically, it is those inflational increases have essentially consumed about the value of a mill historically. I would put two more mills towards a general fund that would allow me to go back in and fund some items that I was unable to fund without an increase. I think this is
just three more mills and I can do what I want to do. You know, you guys set the goals, and it's just a hamburger meal. Can you see what's happened? But what is so interesting is, go back to Russell Brazel and all, they've got over $4 million more in revenue than last year. So the budget has increased over $4 million just by doing nothing, just because of inflation. And that's not enough, not enough at all. And then ask yourself why the numbers have to change right up until the last minute. And then ask yourself this, did they already know about this? Did they already know about this? Certainly the members of the Finance Committee, working closely with Mr. Templer, had some idea that they were coming for a $3 million increase. Now, the way the body language and all and the talking back and forth leads one to believe that everyone on that council was aware. Could it be? Might it be? Might what we see is just a show, a clown show? The interesting thing is that the two people that are voting against this millage increase had an opportunity to be on the Finance Committee to begin with. And now they're sitting there with a no vote. Two, and there's three people on the Finance Committee, and those are the only three people. So it's a 3-2 vote to pass County Council. A 3-2 vote to now tax the people by three more millage. And with reassessment coming next year, guaranteeing that they have more income next year, more revenue, more extortion next year. And they can just, we reassess. You know, and government always says, you know, we've got to have a little bit more money, you know, for your safety and security and, you know, to do the best things for the people. Not to protect the individual, but for the collective good, we have to do these things. The Mr. Templer explains now how seriously he takes the budget.
I think this is this is something I don't take lightly.
Yes, sir.
Because I am a taxpayer as well. I have an 86-year-old mother that lives around the corner from me, and I think about her. But as your administrator, I am asking for $3 million increase to this budget to allow me to do the things I need to do. This is in line with what we have done historically. We typically have, when we have not increased millage, we skip a year and then pick back up, and it is a nominal increase. I don't think the load on the individual taxpayer, homeowner, vehicle owner is going to be earth-shattering. Matter of fact, for a $100,000 home, you're looking at $13.20, and you can do the math based on...
So less than $45 for the year.
Yes. And then for a $30,000 car, I think it's around $7. Yeah. So I am just respectfully asking council to consider that request for 3 mills to allow us to operate and move forward to this year.
So historically, we've done it this way. And I've got a 88-year-old mother that, you know, is on a fixed income and all, and but I'm not thinking about her because I have to think about the county. This county is my focus because it pays my bills, and this is my job to ensure that the collective gets what it wants, ensure that special interest gets what it wants, ensure that the county council gets the goals that it set. And this is what I need to do to get that. And then look at what he says. We have traditionally done this, that we skip a year and then we do 3%. And then we skip a year and we do 3%. In other words, we're going to grow at least 3% every 2 years. At least that. Because then comes taxes, fees, fines, whatever it may be, to get more and more government to grow and grow and grow. If I remember correctly, back when Jim Matthews was first elected sheriff, I think the budget was $2.5 or $2.8 million, and it rose to $4.4 million, $4.5 million. And now Lee Bone is talking about $8 million. Now, ladies and gentlemen, would you think that inflation has gone up that much in that period of time? Sure, the price of vehicles is higher. But as Lee Bone said, well, I get more money for a used truck than I do a used car, so we're buying fancy trucks. So, and then all the excuses made, well, it's the fuel, well, it's this or that is the reason that we need to do this or that. And it changes minute by minute, so we got to do it at the end. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a clown show. There's no way in the world that it would take that kind of time. They should have. The budget should be pretty much nailed down exactly with your little buffer built into it long before the first reading. It's a clown show. It's a scam. But in the end, of course, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to pass it.
Very good. Let me just say this, that I think the Finance Committee has worked very hard, and I know that they've come with a recommendation, and I'm not going to support this tonight because I just don't think, when you talk about increasing the millage, times are tough. Really tough out there. And I just think we have to really tighten our belts as well. And I know that our law enforcement, we have a jail to build. We've got to figure out how we're going to do that. We're going to probably have to go do a bond or whatever. That's all for another day and story. But nobody's really brought that up and addressed it. But we're talking about a huge, huge amount of money. And where is it going to come from? So, anyway, having said that, any other comments?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway and something that I'd like to mention is the fact that we've got $4.5 million more in the budget without any additional millage. So what is that? The equivalent to like almost 15 mills?
Well, you know, that was a point of discussion we had the other night, and you bring up a valid point on that.
So I think we can fund the sheriff's office. And you're only going to get 1 mil of the tax increase, $315,000. Is that what it is, Mr. Administrator?
About that, maybe a little less.
But, Sheriff, didn't I give you a proposal that would have given you $750,000? I did. He's nodding yes.
Okay.
So I just, I don't want to paint this as something it's not. It's a tax increase, and I'm sure it's got plenty of good places to go. I've actually heard from some other agencies that are requesting more money. I won't name those agencies because they do good work here in the county. But I think it's more of a tax increase for all rather than just, I don't want the sheriff to have to wear that as this is a tax increase for me. Not when you're only getting a third of the increase. That's a fact. So
I do agree with that.
But anyhow, Mr. Jones, you can call the vote whenever you're ready.
I will, but I just want to admit, Chairman of the Finance Committee, do you have anything you want to say? And I think this is a very important discussion. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. And just want to say this right here, and I respect everybody's opinions and thoughts. What we're doing tonight, and we can talk more in detail about the budget itself on the 25th, but tonight we're paying for the bills we have created in second reading of the budget. So in other words, we have already allocated the monies out in second.
So the man of the people, Jimmy Jones, they're all along fighting for the people. I can't support this. I can't support this. Times are tough. Times are tough, y'all. Russell Brazel. You know, I'm not going to support this tonight, and I don't want to blame the sheriff, and I know he needs some more money, but I'm standing with the people, man of the people over yonder, and we already know y'all got the votes, and Danny Cato is in the wind somewhere, and why is Danny Cato not there? Huh. So it's a rigged game in the end. A 3-2 vote. Ladies and gentlemen, have you been had? Is this just not a game? $4 million, 13% spending increase, a 13% increase, and yet they want more money. Is this your limited government that you wanted? But the attack on private property continues. As the meeting wore on, we came to an ordinance about skeet shooting. Skeet shooting and hunt clubs. Now, if you recall, it's been a month, 2 months, something like that. There was a group came to the planning and zoning, while they even went to planning and zoning in the first place, came there and wanted a permit for a skeet shooting range on a big piece of property. Well, the planning and zoning says, well, we don't have a regulation about that. And so we got to go to county council to get a regulation so that you can have permission to do a skeet range. And that's how the snowball started rolling. Russell Brazel got wind of it and started it saying, we're going to permit this and permit that. Well, the government has no business controlling private property. You, as a property owner, have a responsibility on that property. In other words, it's your property, but you can't hurt anybody, and you can't lie, cheat, or steal for somebody. So you're responsible for holding to that when you're shooting a gun. Like later on, they made an argument that 1 acre, somebody with 1 acre to have a skeet shooting thing. Use that noodle in between the 6 inches between your ears. It makes no sense. You shoot a shotgun, the BBs are going to go way over out there. And your neighbors are going to complain. Your neighbors have then have a civil action. You don't need a law. You don't need a law for that. That's a violation of natural rights and all that by shooting a gun and going into your neighbor's yard against their vinyl house or whatever. But this is the argument. They're saying, we want to permit this. In other words, Russell Brown was saying the government owns or controls the land, and to own is to control. So if you don't control what's on private property, on your property, then you're not the owner. You're only a tenant.
2411, an ordinance to amend Kershaw County, South Carolina Uniform and Zoning Land Development Regulations to amend Table 3.3 to allow for gun club and skeet shooting ranges, as well as hunt clubs and other amusements as permitted use in all primary zoning districts within the unincorporated areas of Kershaw County. All right.
So, allow skeet shooting range, hunt club, and other amusements. Why is government permitting anything? But listen to what the debate is.
I have some discussion. One thing that I was, as we were looking at this, and I know talking to some of the county attorney and the legal stuff, I would like to make a motion to amend. I'll make the motion and I can discuss it. I would like to make a motion to amend to allow for gun clubs and skeet shooting ranges as permitted uses in B2, RD1, RD2, and MRD1, and designate the off-street parking requirements as not applicable to gun clubs, skeet ranges, hunt clubs, and other amusements. That's my amendment.
All right, you heard the amendment. Is there a second?
So the amendment is to regulate a little bit more. In other words, you got R15, R4, R8, R9, and these are where certain levels of certain houses can go and zoning areas and all kinds of craziness that government likes to twist and turn and pull levers to try to direct society. And so he's taking it from all the people to just certain areas. They're going to allow you to do whatever you want to do as far as skeet shooting and amusement and that kind of thing. So none of them are arguing on the principle of private property. There should be no permission slip at all. As long as you are doing no harm to anybody and nobody brings complaints, and all it, that can be adjudicated. This permission slips is just a steady erosion on private property under the guise of the greater good of the general welfare of a collective that doesn't really exist.
That amendment. I'm going to second that amendment. Okay. All right, Mr. Chimick, you had the floor.
Yeah, basically, the concern that I have after looking at this and talking to the lawyers is that if it passes without this amendment, then in theory, even in R6s and R15s, gun clubs and skeet ranges would be allowed. And I think, I mean, I know, you know, obviously, you know, over in my district, which is pretty condensed, the idea of having a, you know, a full-on hunt club or skeet range on a one-acre parcel, I just don't think of what those zoning uses were intended for. So that would be my amendment. Unfortunately, I don't know that I can support it without that amendment, just because I'm concerned that, I'm happy to come back and
revisit.
Can
we get a copy of that in writing?
Yeah. This one? There you go.
This is a straw man argument Mr. Shoemaker's making. Oh, 1 acre, and I don't want hunt clubs over there, you know, in the McMansions, you know, where the boxes are. Maybe they got an outlying lot, you know, that's actually a 1 acre. And they're in a cul-de-sac down there, and they're going to start a hunt club, y'all. They're going to hunt deer on 1 acre, and they're going to the idiocracy, and people buy into this babbling bullcrap. This is your government. This is the clown show. This is the incrementalism to doing away, completely away with private property and individual rights. No matter their rhetoric, no matter their intentions, good, bad, or indifferent, they are headed down the highway to hell. Over the past 100 years, we've seen incrementalism. We've seen the government controlling education. We've seen government controlling medicine. We've seen government controlling food, everything. And as it did, here comes the cost rising and the service going down. And here comes totalitarianism and liberty shrinking. The scale is out of balance. We have big, big government and less liberty. This is what this whole argument is about. But it gets into a cat fight. Tomcats, but a cat fight. Russell gets himself into a wrinkle about it because he didn't get in touch with the attorney at the right time. And it's an attorney battle and the legalese. And the attorneys are the ones that led us to this point when Russell wanted the permit. And in the end, it was the attorney said that you need to do it where we permit this because in the future you might have a council that comes back and says, we don't permit this. But in the end, does government have control of all private property?
And what?
Excuse me. Go ahead, Mr. Schumacher. You had the floor.
Well, no, I mean that's basically what I have.
What qualifies as a hunt club? What is the legal definition of hunt club as far as our ordinances? Is that an acre? So if me and some buddies have an acre property, and we decide to go out there and put one deer stand up, and it's there, is that considered a hunt club? I don't know if that's a legal question or not.
I think it's a good question.
Yeah, I'm not sure what qualifies
as a hunt club. I've got 1 acre with a deer stand on it.
I do too. And I think it's actually in R15. So I don't know if I want to – I could name it Brant Tomlinson Hunt Club, and then I might not be able to shoot a deer on that piece of property.
So Brant makes the same argument, but in a different way. And Russell and Brant say, I've got a deer stand on 1 acre, and you know, if y'all, that could be a hunt club, and then y'all could say, boys, why do you make such good, terrible arguments as if you're trying to protect private property when essentially you're saying government has permission to ban whatever or permit whatever. This is not the way government was envisioned, or perhaps it is. Perhaps that's inherent. But God-given natural rights include private property, ownership, control. They play with all the zoning laws and all that, and government's going to protect you from shady builders and all. They can't do that. They can't do that. They try as they might and try as they may, and the pendulum swings from no growth to mow growth to back and forth, and they're always piddling around and all. But in the end, they can't do anything. They need to lead that to the private sector. Insurance companies and banks are the main ones that will take care of the building codes and all that without government.
Yeah, that piece of property. I understand your concern because they brought it to me as well. I think who brought this up? Because you clearly said that it wasn't the attorney, so somebody within the county's bureaucracy brought this to the attention of Councilman Shumate.
Yeah, no, they brought it to attention of me, sir, not Councilman Shumate. They brought it Excuse me, let me say something. I'm going to answer your question. I want to answer your question, but just hold on, okay? Now, Mr. Robinson brought it to my attention when I got here this afternoon, and I looked at it, and the first thing I said to him was, bring it to your attention. Okay, that's how that unraveled. And Mr. Shumate looked at it coming down into this room, and I'm glad he brought it up because I think it brings some good discussion. And so
well,
now let me say this. Excuse me, Mr. President, let me say
something. Typed up.
Hold on a minute. Yes, he does. I don't know who called Mr. Robinson prior to him getting with me. Was it a staff member? How did this all come about? And Mr. Russell's got a legitimate concern there. Who brought this to your attention?
So Russell wants to get to the bottom of it. See, he wasn't notified about this until 30 minutes before the meeting. And who brought this up? And why wasn't I informed and all? And Jimmy Jones says, I had the lawyer go over the whole thing, the whole agenda, when it came out, which it must have come out on Thursday morning. But however, I think that they've seen it before Thursday when it's released to the public.
So as you're aware, the agenda was published this week, and we had a conversation just about the items on the agenda, and you asked our office to make sure that we knew everything that was going to be on the agenda and be prepared for any questions mm-hmm. that might arise.
Correct.
From everything on the
dealing
agenda,
with the, all the agenda,
all
correct.
The agenda items, including the millage and otherwise.
Correct. Okay.
Certainly.
Thank you.
One of the questions that came up during our discussion with staff is, would this allow gun clubs, skeet shooting clubs, and hunt clubs in residential neighborhoods in the unincorporated areas? And that discussion, you know, having grown up here, neighborhoods that came to mind, Valley Park, Cool Springs areas, Fredericksburg, would it apply to that? And the answer was yes, that this would remove the restrictions that would presently bar skeet shooting clubs, gun clubs, and hunt clubs in those neighborhoods if it were passed as is. And then there was also a discussion about the language regarding other amusements and what would be included in that. And there's a long list in the NAICS of other amusements that would be permitted. Because we'd basically be removing any of the restrictions countywide on any of these items anywhere in the county, no matter where it was, whether it be a business, an office, a neighborhood, this would remove the restrictions that are currently in place for skeet shooting clubs, clubs, and gun clubs. I reported back to you as you requested that these were the responses we got, and if there were any questions, in our conversation, you asked me to be prepared to respond and have something in writing should that issue become an issue, or questions relating to the neighborhoods. I did that. It's very short. I think you saw it. It's about 6 lines. Just what the amendment. I called Mr. Brazel earlier this week, and I was able to talk with him today.
You called me earlier this week?
Yes. Left a voicemail. And was able to talk with you today. And then Mr. Shoemake I saw in the hallway, and you introduced me to Mr. Shoemake.
So you took it upon yourself to have this amendment ready to hand it to the councilman who was ready to make the amendment. Is that right?
Mr. Jones asked me to prepare it, and I did do that, yes.
Okay.
Mr. Brazel, let me make myself clear so we're not putting stuff in there that doesn't belong. I asked him to go through the entire agenda and to tell me if there were any concerns in there whatsoever, if there were, for any item to bring it to my attention.
Mr. Jones, may I ask a question after your
Hold on a second. And then he did that, and of course, that's where we are now. And of course, he had talked with the planning and zoning director.
Yes, and asked today, if this comes up, and of course, Mr. Brown.
And then somebody reached out to you prior to the meeting?
Yes, we talked about it prior to the meeting, and he was asking he had mentioned that he had talked to you guys about it, and I asked him what that was about.
he shared those concerns, which mirrored some concerns I've got. Particularly,
like 10 minutes before the meeting, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, not.
It was, and that was at my request. As I was walking down the hallway with Mr. Browser, I said, "You want to share those thoughts with Mr. Shoemaker, see what he thinks?"
Yeah.
Which I was very glad.
Because originally, when this all started, my original thought going into that meeting was we were going to take that particular zoning classification, allow skeet shooting and hunt clubs, and then that meeting sort of went kind of off the rails, and it ends up being a discussion about whether we remove it countywide. So as I thought about it, I had some real concerns, and I thought this amendment addressed those concerns. So,
and why did Jimmy say, look, how about looking over this whole agenda and seeing if everything's okay? Ladies and gentlemen, that's not a usual thing. So there was a reason why Jimmy Jones asked the attorney to look at it, to look at it all. And that's when he figured out that he conferred with his other people and all, and my goodness, this covers everything. I went to planning and zoning and all. Everybody went everywhere and decided that, you know, we need to tighten this up and make sure that we permit it here and don't permit it over there. Another tinkering. So Russell says, you called me earlier this week? Apparently he didn't get the voicemail, didn't check the voicemail. The voicemail didn't go through the voicemail. But he was informed 30 minutes before. And this is what Russell's upset as he can be, that he wasn't, you know, informed. Why didn't he check? Why didn't this has been an ongoing battle for a long time. Why didn't he check? But so everybody is upset. They keep going and going and going.
Toward any person, and if you have to be 300 feet.
Ms. Thompson, let him answer the question, please.
Yeah, Mr. Jones, I'm asking.
I'm serious about that. That is just disrespectful. If you ask him a question, let him finish it.
You can't shoot toward any person or any structure that might contain people. I think that's probably correct.
Yes, sir. And I believe it's 150 feet or 300 feet away from a highway or something when you're dove hunting.
Yeah, there's plenty of state laws.
Yeah, there's plenty of state laws, right? So my whole point in this is R15 isn't going to change any more or less by doing this compared to what the state laws already do.
And then you
keep going on and on about this. But in the end, Russell Browser tells everybody what he thinks happened. I think he said it was a setup.
Hold on a minute. Mr. Browser, any comments? Anything you want to say?
I think it was all a setup. That's what I think. I think you know it was all set up, and I was called about 30 minutes prior to the meeting and trying to be swayed into changing my mind, which I won't.
Very good. Mr. Thompson.
I'm ready to vote.
All right. Okay, we have the amendment on the floor, correct?
Yes, the amendment is on the floor.
Mr. Tucker, do you have anything you want to say? Is he with us?
Oh, I'm with you. I'm so confused once again.
Well, I know. Yeah,
I have nothing to say.
Okay, well, I have something to say, but I'll say it in just a few minutes. All right, all those in favor of the amendment, raise your hand. Ms. Tucker, how do you vote on the amendment?
I vote yes on the amendment.
Okay, so the amendment is 3-4. How many against? Mr. Browser and Mr. Thompson vote no, so therefore the amendment passes. That's the ordinance as amended. We'll take a vote on that. All those in favor of the ordinance as amended, raise your hand. Mr. Tucker, how do you vote?
I'll vote yes.
All right, he as votes amended. Yes. How many vote against? Mr. Browser and Mr. Thompson vote against, so it passes.
And so it passes. With Sammy Tucker confused as I am, because it was not a battle of a principle. It's just a battle of who wants what, when, where, what do you define a woman as. But Jimmy Jones is offended, and he, after the vote, says this.
Mr. Browser, Ms. Thompson vote against, so it passes. Thank you, gentlemen. Let me say something else, too, and I'm going to be very clear about this, how I feel. You know, the comment was just made that this was set up. I really take that personally. I think this council meeting was set up tonight to be disrupted. And I'm not going, and I'm very disappointed that nobody ever tried to set anybody up on this ordinance. It was done early. People were called early. He was unable to get in touch with anybody. But to sit here and say that this was a setup, what was a setup and a shame is that I'm running the meeting, and it was deliberately going to be sabotaged with me running the meeting. And I know that, and I don't appreciate it. I'm very disappointed. All right, let's move to the next item.
So the question is, do you think government should control private property? Many people out there say, well, I want government to restrict what size house you can put on, what size property. I want government to make sure that my neighbor can't do this or can't do that, or I want government to do something. And it's kind of like the old story. I didn't like what my neighbor does, and so the government came for them. And I didn't say anything because, you know, I didn't want him doing what he was doing. And then they came for my other neighbor because he had a swimming pool, and I didn't have a swimming pool, so I didn't say anything either. And then they came for me, and there was nobody else there. So be careful what you ask government to do, because that same government that you're wanting to do something to somebody else will one day do the same to you. Government is fire. Government is nothing but force. And it runs on extortion. Be careful what you ask for, because you may just get it. So we have the budget where they're coming after more money because, you know, they love you, don't you know? And we have a tax against private property under the guise of permitting a little bit of freedom. And then throughout the whole meeting, we have Vice Chairman Jimmy Jones, who is now acting chair because of the resignation of his favorite daughter, Katie Gwynn. So now we have a council that is down to six, which leaves a possibility of a tie. And if you would have been paying attention to the meeting, you would have noticed that Danny Cato is not there. That guarantees that the budget passed and the millage passed, even if Russell and Jimmy are going to vote no. So that's the way the clownship goes. But Jimmy Jones thinks there's a conspiracy.
Thank you, gentlemen. Let me say something else, too, and I'm going to be very clear about this, how I feel. You know, the comment was just made that this was set up. I really take that personally. I think this council meeting was set up tonight to be disrupted.
And, ladies and gentlemen, I think Jimmy is losing a step. There was a time in there when several times during the meeting where he got a little confused. And what is interesting is how on the council briefings, every week you have the same thing over and over again, every meeting, where first you have council briefings, administrators briefings, and then legal briefings. That's how it always goes at the end of the meeting. And even Jimmy knows this, but listen to what happens when he starts introducing the end of the meeting.
Administrator's briefing. The three same things we see every week.
No, council briefing, isn't it?
Yeah. No. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Council briefing. Exactly. I apologize. You're right. I jumped right over that. All right, council briefing.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, I jumped right over that. The same three things we see every week. But I jumped right over that. A little Freudian slip or a little, what is that? And there were several times during the meeting. But what really, really showed its face is in his council briefings. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to believe this. Let's take a listen.
I do have some things I want to say and I want to talk about just for a quick moment. I want to welcome some of my friends here tonight. Appreciate y'all being here. I'm so glad that Mr. James was here, Judge James, Mayor James, and we were able to celebrate him, and he was to lead. I'm so glad he didn't have to sit here and watch the way things happened tonight. I am disappointed. My family has been attacked. I'm running for chair. Things have been said about us, my wife and I, my friends, the Alpha Center. I'm not going to stand for it. And then I get up here tonight, and I feel like this meeting was totally torn apart for political reasons. I am very upset. And folks, let me just tell you something right now. I don't back down, and I don't bow down. And but you're not going to make, people are not going to just take this political position and come out and try to destroy an agency who has put so much into this community. I have so much respect for Mr. Paul Knapper sitting over there. He has worked all his life. He has saved lives. Well, thank you, buddy. I know what you've done. There's some things you can't even talk about that you've witnessed, that you've put through. You've built a legacy with the Alpha Center. And I'm going to talk about the Alpha Center, even though my wife's the executive director. I don't care if you like it or not. I've never voted on anything for the Alpha Center. I've always recused myself. I don't appreciate the lies that have been put out there. I don't appreciate the innuendos about my family being put out there. All why? Because I'm running for chair. Well, I'm going to run for chair, and I'm going to stick with it. Now, people either vote me in, they vote me out. That's up to them. But I don't appreciate the things that have been going on. I've never seen as gutter politics as I've seen here in this. If I've embarrassed somebody, I make no apologies. But this bottom line is we're going to run this meeting. It's going to be ran by the rules. We're going to respect the rules. We're not going to just speak up, and we're going to act out and holler out anytime we want. That was a blatant disrespect to me as the chairman of this county council. To destroy this meeting, to make it look as if I couldn't run a meeting. I know exactly what you're doing tonight. Folks, I have enjoyed serving this county. I have served this county for 18 years. I have served this county for 28 years prior to that. I have given my life to public service. I have stood up, and I have fought, and I have stood alone. I have had council members try to indict me, criminally charge me, 15 years ago, 16 years ago, falsely accused me of sabotaging because I brought the truth to county council. Well, you know what? The county administrator was arrested and put in jail for filing false reports against me. And now the same thing's happening again. Well, I don't bow down, and I'm not going to take it. And people say, well, you know, don't, Jimmy, you know, you might want to just not say this. That. No, no, no. I'll carry my fight to the public. I'll let the public be the judge. I want to thank the people of Kershaw County for allowing me to serve them the time I have. And I want to thank my wonderful wife who has done a wonderful job in serving the people in this county. She's done a wonderful job. I've seen her on Sunday mornings go to houses to save lives. I've seen her, she and I, on our anniversary, have to go by and see somebody because she was trying to save somebody with an addiction. For the trash to be put out there about her and Paul Napper, I'm not going to stand for it in the Alpha Center. All because of why? I'm running for chair. And then this happens tonight on County Council. It's no coincidence. I mean, no apologies to anybody. And I want to thank the people of Kershaw County for letting me serve. And I want to tell you something else, too. There's another agency that I'm going to be addressing that needs to be addressed, and I'll do that at another time. But thank you to the public. And with that, Mr. Danny Templer, you have anything?
Just a few quick items. There's
what in the world is that? Apparently, Jimmy Jones has got in his head that there is a conspiracy against him, his family, and just Jimmy Jones, because he's running for chairman. What? Where in the world did that come from? The Alpha Center has been a little bit of controversy there for a number of years for a variety of reasons, questioning what they're doing, how they're spending their money and all. And you can understand that. They're a quasi-government agency, public-private partnership kind of dealio. But because somebody's asking questions over here and Jimmy's seeing ghosts, y'all. It's kind of crazy. You got to question that. I hate to say it, but you got to question it. So, ladies and gentlemen, is this the government that you imagined? Is this limited government where government can poke their fingers in private property? Government, remember what they did to us in the lockdowns and all. Remember the social distancing and closing boat ramps and all that. And now we know all that was a lie, and they went along with it. They didn't study anything about it. What do you do? What do you do? Well, I had a bunch of people coming to me wanting me to do something. I think I'm going to let Poke Chop tell you what happened.
Weasels of Kershaw County running all over the place. Hey y'all, this is Poke Chop, and with an intelligence report. Now, as everybody is aware, old Katie Gwynn's resigned next to the last meeting, and of course they've had a meeting since then, but at that meeting, everybody, all the county councilmen, were saying how shocked they was and how they were so sad to see her go and all. Well, according to some very, very, very good sources, these boys all knew ahead of time. And they was lying, pants on fire. Ain't that amazing? Politicians lying to us. Transparency, they claim. And honesty, they claimed, but they fooled a fool, pulled a fool one on y'all, don't you know? Yep, that's right. And there's some other dirty dealings going on too, because apparently apparently they have been planning this here for a while. Katie Guinn resigning, don't you know? And apparently, the one Mr. Perfect had already decided that, you know, when Katie Guinn goes, let's set it up where Jimmy Jones runs for County Council. Because guess what? I don't even have to give up my seat. If I lose, I still on County Council after 18 years, don't you know? That's right, boys and girls. So now you have Ben Conman Connell with all his accolades and all. And then you have Jimmy Jones, the man of the people, is running. And of course, he just done told the fib. I didn't know. Come as a shock.
We hate to lose. You were the first chairwoman of the kid.
Yeah, crocodile tears, ain't it, Jimbo? Bye. Great goodness. Well, ladies and gentlemen, tell you the truth, everybody getting fed up. And the other day, we were sitting around outside the table, and here comes this guy. And then here comes this other guy. And then the next thing I know, there's people everywhere around in the backyard. And ladies and gentlemen, every damn one of them was saying, Jeffy, you gotta run. Jeffy, you gotta run. Jeffy, you gotta run. Jeffy, you gotta run. And Jeffy said, no, I don't want to get in there. I don't want to run anybody's eye. None of that. And they said, that's why we want you to run, because you don't want to mess up private property, and you don't want to spend money on damn boondoggles up the swamp park and all. We fed up too, Jeffy. You got to run. And Jeffy said, oh, great goodness. Great goodness. Oh, great goodness. And he looked over at Pope Child, and he looked over at Josephine, and he said, I guess I'm going to run. And everybody said, yay, yay, Jeffy, Jeffy, Jeffy. It's going to be great, Jeffy. And Jeffy's just shaking his head, and he's looking down. And I don't think he was too happy about it. But ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Maddox is running for Kershaw County Chairman. And that's the intelligence. And if you want to know more about Jeff Maddox, go to the YouTube channel. Go with Back and Far and learn. He don't tell no. He tells you like it is, don't you know? So if you want to be voting for and you're fed up and you don't want big government on one side or big government on the other side, you're going to have to vote for Jeffy, I'm just afraid. Anyway, so they all lied about Katie Guinn. They knew when Katie Guinn was going to go. And it was preparing for it. And they did it because at the time, so that nobody would, it would not be on the primary on June 11th. It'd be a special election in the middle of August, on August 6th. So there'd be low turnout and Jimmy Jones can run, don't you know? So that's it. Jeff Maddox for chairman of Kershaw County. This is Pope Chop reporting. Bye. Chill.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. A group of people have coerced me to jump into the race, to be the voice of reason, to be the voice of the poor, to be the voice of the people that want more freedom, that want less government, that want the personal responsibility that comes with freedom. Freedom is dangerous. Get used to it. But government is more dangerous than freedom. Because without freedom, you're just a slave. Check us out on Facebook, Jeff Maddox for chair. Jeff Maddox for county chairman. Jeff Maddox for chairman. Look it up. You'll see. And if you want to kick in a few bucks, these guys are spending some crazy money. You want to throw in a few bucks or something, give Singo. There's a link over there. And that was the Liberty Report. I appreciate all of you tuning in. I hope this gives you something to think about. I hope you consider stepping out. Freedom's not free. It takes pretty hard work. Till next time. Peace.
If a government claims a right, and then their claim is that they derive these rights from the people.
Right.
Well, how can people give a group rights that they don't themselves have?
To steal from each other.
Right. If we can't tax people, like I can't tax you, where exactly does government derive this right from? You realize that the goal ought to be as voluntary a society as possible. Now, how exactly you achieve that, how far you can push that is debatable, but certainly that should be the goal. That if government is providing a service for you, well then why does it need to be provided by force?